A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar amp. A very Orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremlord 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
And Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
Yes, that's right. Just the three of us this week. And, well, it's still light on the news, but we've got loads of other cool things to talk about. Namely, and getting straight into it, Matthew Knight.
Yes.
You bought another amp, expanding the ungiggable rig once more. I thought we were at a point, Matt, where you were finally
making it giggable.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought you were slimming it down. It did seem like you were slimming everything down.
Well, I've got to say, so I've got this. I've had one amp for a while, so I've had the Morgan PR12 running into the two Zilla 112s, which has been great. That's been fine and dandy.
What do you have in the two Zilla 112s?
Celestian Creamback,
obviously,
in one, and I've got an EV EVL12, I think it is, which I've had for ages. It came with one of a Morgan I bought maybe 8 or 9 years ago. It's a really high-powered, super high headroom speaker.
Right.
Basically similar to the Celestian Copperback that we were talking about before, which I'm hoping to get my hands on to kind of A-B the two.
Yes, we see.
But actually, funny enough, it's have it mixing to like a Creamback and an EV is kind of weird because one is super high headroom, super powered, and obviously much louder than the other.
That's the EV, right?
That's the EV, and then the Creamback is much more like a traditional, quote unquote, traditional guitar speaker.
What do you get Creambacks in normally?
I don't think they come in many things as standard. There's a couple of Vox models that came in as standard, I guess. I think Fender may have done.
What do you get in a Blues Junior? What do you get in a Blues Junior normally?
A Jensen. Some sort of Jensen. I can't remember.
Is it a Jensen as standard in a
Blues
Junior?
I'm pretty sure.
Because they always do limited edition ones that have Celestians and things in them.
Yeah, I just double checking now. I'm pretty sure that there have been some...
I'm pretty sure there's been some... Creambacks in Blues Juniors.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it is a...
I think it's a Celestian.
I thought it was a Jensen, but maybe not. Maybe it is a Celestian.
I think Jensen in the tweed ones, if I remember
right.
Oh,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of. The lack of tweed.
I've got one of them.
The lack of tweed. Well, they're fantastic.
I thought I had some sort of cannabis thing.
Cannabis Rex.
Yeah,
cannabis
maybe I don't Rex. Have that.
Yeah, there have been a bunch of those. Those are really good speakers. They're really kind of... They're really nice.
Who makes the Cannabis Rex?
Celestine.
I'm asking all the questions today.
Yeah, you're really pushing me to the.
I'm so sorry.
I'm asking
because I know nothing about speakers. I was thinking about this recently. I have no idea. And sorry, Matt. I realise we'll definitely pick up back on your point, but I have no no real idea of what the difference is between like the cream.
You know
blue,
what we should do?
Ruby, who you know the Ruby Celestians Ruby, is Ruby, sponsoring Ruby, Ruby. This very podcast at the moment.
Oh yeah, of course.
Well, you know what we should do?
What?
Basically, Celestian's main office and engineering department is 5 minutes away from my parents' house.
Oh yeah, of course.
Right.
We should go visit.
Ipswich. Ipswich.
Yeah, they've been made there for like 100 years.
I have never been to Ipswich. Mind you, I don't think anyone who doesn't live in Ipswich has ever been to Ipswich. It's one of those places. It's not a thoroughfare.
I think it used to have quite a popular venue on the old gigging circuit.
The Steamboat.
The Steamboat, and there was another one as well. Some sort of crazy sports bar near the football stadium. Don't know if you've ever played there.
They've got a ram's head, the football team. Is that
no.
right? No. Oh.
No.
Is it not a sheep?
No.
No.
No? Hmm.
I was thinking Norwich, but
you're thinking of Derby.
Ah,
Ipswich have got a horse on their badge.
Oh, okay,
but yeah, no, you're thinking of Derby,
right? Sorry,
Derby, different town, different county, different part of the world, really. Yes, to be honest with you, just to cut this back, Blues Juniors, the standard black Blues Junior does indeed have a Celestian 12-inch A-type speaker, and the Lacquer Tweed has got a Jensen.
Right.
C12N, and the Pro Junior also has a Jensen a 10-inch speaker in that, of course. Yes, my mistake. Of course, in the standard Blues Junior, it is a Celestian.
Yeah. It's a Celestian. So anyway, Matt, you were saying Celestian by Ipswich.
So, right. So go back. Yes. So a Morgan PR12. So I've been running that into two Zilla cabs, which are obviously 2 112s, which is fine, but I'm running into one amp into two speakers. And previously, in all previous versions of the Ungiggable rig, I've been running wet dry, so where you split the signal after the drive pedal, so the delays, reverbs, modulations only go to one side.
So you're having, so your dry is the cream back?
Yes. No. I'll get to that. So, nice. Yeah, basically, that's how I've been doing it. So now I've got this other amp, which I'll go into a second. I've actually been running wet-dry again, and I've realised how much of a difference it makes, because you can run all the delays, modulations, reverbs, etc. much wetter than usual, and then you still have much more of a clean signal blended in because you've got one amp that's totally dry. So I'm experimenting at the moment with which speaker combinations sort of work best, but you realise that when you split and you're running something with an EV and something with a cream back, they sound remarkably very, very different.
Right. In a negative way, are you finding it hard to
I think it's just that they, I don't think they necessarily pair. I think you need two cream back style speakers, or what I would say traditional speakers, or two very high powered
speakers. Right. So you go for two of the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Is there any value in a subtle difference in going for like a cream back and a
I wouldn't run two of the same. Okay. I'd run a cream back and something else. I have actually got another speaker to try here as well, and I think you've got another one.
I've got one that I'm going to send up to you. Yeah, Celestian have kindly lent us another speaker that I'm going to send up
to
you.
So
just to cut back to something you said there, you wouldn't use two of the same?
No, I wouldn't use two cream backs, because Joe's right, because you want to have two speakers that are different enough in terms of tone. But when you run something like an EV, which is a 200 watt speaker, versus a cream back, which is like a 30 watt speaker or something that's designed to break up and has very, very different frequency range, they're like almost too conflicting. But in a way, with a wet dry rig, it sort of works, which is what I'm sort of messing around with, which one and combination sort of works best.
Right.
Because in a way, you want the wet amp to, not break up. But then the amp that I just got, which I'll talk about in a second, it's actually kind of nice to have more of a traditional guitar speaker, because it gives you more of that playing back when you dig into it a little bit more. So
right, okay.
I don't know. I'm sort of having a bit of a play around. But yeah, so the amp that I got sent was by Olsen Amplification. I think I spoke about it very briefly when I went to Fuzz Guitar Show in Sweden.
Very briefly.
in April.
You know,
I think.
They Olsen posted about this on their Instagram, and I saw a post or a couple of posts by people. Oh, Jay,
sorry,
Jay's just throwing his microphone. I saw a couple of people reply to their posts on Instagram, because it is, of course, Matthew Shelpink.
Yes.
I saw a couple of people respond about this amp head being like, oh, this is perfect for guitar nerds. And of course, I think they genuinely didn't realize that it was actually for you.
It was actually me. And actually, I feel incredibly privileged, because not only was it their first pink guitar amp, it was actually one of the very first amps of this brand new amp range.
Right.
So they launched it, or had sort of like a preview of it at Fuzz, and I spoke to the master builder there, John Olsen, about it. And I was like, oh, I've never seen them anywhere. And they don't really have distribution anywhere outside of like Scandinavian countries. And I was like, oh, can you make them in pink? He's like, oh, I'm sure we can do something. And, you know, a bit of back and forth went by. They closed for the summer, and I sort of didn't really think anything of it. We sort of like, you know, it happened when it happens. And then all of a sudden it pops up on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, there it is. And it turned up, and it's obviously been quite a few months since I tried it, plugged it in, and I was way more blown away than I was when I tried it at Fuzz. And I didn't realize until I was just reading it now, because the web page has only just gone up for it. There was no web page until a couple weeks ago, I think, that it was actually designed for one of the guys from Opeth, which I had no idea. And I love Opeth. So I was like, oh, that's amazing, because obviously, Opeth being a very like proggy band, go from everything from super clean to super high gain.
Yeah,
and this amp covers all of that without compromising one or the other. And I think that's always amazing, because I've never really had an amp with a drive channel that I've liked. And
really,
this is just, yeah, I've always
that's
just
a
played
weird
clean
thing to
amps.
Say. You've owned so many amplifiers.
Yeah, but so many amps I own are like single channel, like pedal platform amps before I guess pedal platform really became
right,
the term that it is now.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's two channel. The channel one is the gain channel, or it has more controls. It has gain, volume, and a three-way tone stack with a high or a low gain. Then the second channel is just treble and bass, and then just has a volume on it. And then you've got an effects loop with a send and return level, which is really nice, because you can actually use that as a boost if you want. Comes with the foot switch. And that's it, basically. It's nice and simple. It's got an overall presence control. But it is, as they put it, the amp is, you know, it's got a really transparent effects loop, which I've sort of been messing around with, because I've not really ever used effects loops before. Like I said, I've always run a clean amp and run everything into the front end. So I'm sort of debating whether I run this as the effects amp and then actually have the Morgan as the dry amp, and then maybe use the channel on this as well. But yeah, it's a really versatile little amp, and actually it's been really fun to play an amp with gain that I really enjoy, because then you can sort of like ditch the pedal board for a little bit and just kind of plug straight into the amp. And
wattage is it? It went really high then.
It's 20.
And what's the Morgan?
Well, it's called PR12, but when I had it serviced, it was rated at 18.
Right.
So very similar. But yeah, it has 412 AX7s, Teal EL84s, so slightly different to what's in the Morgan, because the Morgan has 6L6s? No, it doesn't. It has 6V6s in it. So much more like that kind of Princeton-y sort of type thing. This is much more like your kind of Voxy sort of British type thing, I guess.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, it just has got a load of great gain sounds in it. The clean sound is great on the second channel where there's no gain, you've just got the volume. I absolutely love it. I think it's wicked. I've only probably had it plugged in for a couple of hours, but so far I'm really, really digging it.
I noticed it was slightly wider than your Zilla.
Annoyingly
cabs.
So, yes, very annoyingly. But because obviously Zilla were kind enough to make the custom rack case for my Space Echo and some of the rack units I've got, it sits nicely on that. So I've got this nice rack case with
great
two amps on it, and then a stack
of cabinets.
And I'm just like, oh, maybe I should get something to put on top of the cabs.
get like a plant or something.
Yeah, maybe like some sort of just a bunch of cacti or something.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, some succulents.
But one thing I've realised I'm missing, having tried it the other day, I've really missed my jazz chorus.
I can't believe you got rid of your jazz chorus.
Well, the problem is the JC50 was just far too loud. And it was like one of those, it was one of those amps that was like zero to full blast and then nothing in between.
Right. So what would you get? One of the 40s?
No, I'd actually probably get one of the little JC22s.
No, that's no use. Well, I guess in your bedroom it's going to be okay.
But... No, I think they're great actually. Like two little 8-inch speakers, 22 watts, that's all you need. You and then you can run it in stereo as well.
It's the ungiggable rig, mate.
Yeah, I'm not going to be gigging it anytime soon.
How much is a little Jazz Chorus 22? Because they do look great.
I will Google
it,
boy.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
I only work to euros, mate. I can't.
How small are they?
They are quite small. Like,
they're about
small.
The same size as a Blues Junior, I guess.
They're like
it's a lot bigger than I was expecting
they are
it
not,
to be.
They're not as big as a Blues Junior, no way.
They are. They're wider than
8-inch speakers.
Yeah, they're
definitely wider
not as big
than a Blues Junior, and they're slightly shorter than a Blues Junior.
Okay,
I would say £329.
Oh, that's okay. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I think they're wicked, and it would sit. I think it would sit on top of the.
But then,
the
how much is?
Very nicely.
But then, like a Roland, one of the JC. What's the size up? 40.
JC 40.
Yeah, they're what are they? £500, around that.
Yes,
around the £500 mark. So it's not a lot of money more to
just
get slightly something
bigger speaker.
Yeah,
I love though because it's actually got stereo ins. And obviously then when you run that, it runs the two speakers in stereo, so one wet and one dry. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe you could run that in stereo, and then it would just be some sort of like wet, dry, wet, but with an extra dry speaker. I'm just thinking,
wet,
you know,
wet,
really
wet, dry, wet.
Ooh, wet, wet, nice. Wet, 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 wet.
You can feel that tone in your fingers and in your toes.
So, I don't know. But anyway, the Little Hill 20 from Olsen Amps was the amp that arrived on my door, and it's wicked. I'd say well worth a try, but... I think unless you're in some Scandinavian country, I think you might try. You might try and fail. I think they do one one in the year. I was trying to read something at the same time.
You said that Finland, really
Finland, Netherlands, Norway, Denmark, and then 10 dealers in Sweden. And that is it.
That's it.
Wow.
Although it does that one of those dealers does include the awesome These Go to 11, which
shop,
is the store I spoke to, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Or maybe I'll try and do a little. Well, maybe I'll bring it down and we'll try and film
hopefully
something.
Hopefully,
like
they will. They will eventually get a little bit more global representation. So the other day, I got a message from Alpha Male Tea Party guitarist Tom Peters, who is having to do. He's doing some shows with his band where they've got to fly to these shows. It's the first time.
And he needs a rig.
Well, yeah, he
a rig to fly with.
So he can obviously bring his guitar.
Yeah,
he can use
the amps. But the rest of his rig, he needs to be able to fly with.
I see where you're going here. Yes, Tom Peters was asking me for advice on a fly rig.
Oh, okay, because he needs to fly his rig.
That's
fly
correct.
Rig.
Although it's not a rig, is it? Because the amp and guitar are sorted out. But basically, he has to deal with effects. Where he can't take his, I think he built his own board, but it might be, I think it fits into the chassis of a pedal train. What was it called? Help me out, Matt.
One, two,
no,
pro.
No.
Nano?
Novo.
Neo? Grande.
Grande, yes. Grande.
The massive one.
Yeah, that's right.
The enormous one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The biggest one.
So that's kind of the size of his pedal board. And of course, we've spoken about fly rigs and things like that before plenty of times, and we can definitely recommend fly rigs. Matt, are you on fire? No, you good?
So I just turned my mic down, but yes, right. I am on fire.
Okay, wonderful. Where was I? Yeah, so we've spoken about fly rigs and stuff like that before, but I think when we speak about fly rigs, we're like, oh, you know, for playing a bit of blues or a punk show or something like that, we're always talking about units that are great portable multi-effects, things like the Sans Amp fly rig. But of course, that's going to be great for drive, a little bit of modulation and some reverb, maybe a touch of delay. But that's it. Now I'm being asked for a fly rig from someone who, you know, it has like pogs on all the time, loads of big...
I love pogs. Got any Tazos in there?
Loads of big, like expansive delays and big reverbs doing sort of weird arpeggiating things. Basically, loads of really weird noises. All that sort of high, sort of, you know, math rock stuff. So I'm like, what can you get? What can I advise him on that's going to be compact, that he can put in a backpack, that's going to give him access to at least some of his crazy sounds?
Isn't it an HX Stomp?
No, because the HX Stomp, because he needs to switch between all these sounds as well. And I just don't think the HX Stomp offers that across 3 foot switches. Well, two, because one of them's always assigned to tap tempo.
See, I would
do. You can't just scroll up and down.
What about Helix, then?
Way too big.
Okay, so it's a fly rig also. So that's kind of the thing.
Is the Helix too big?
Well, no, I think it's £750. I think he's doing a handful of shows. I think he's doing a handful of shows and he needs something. A fly rig should be something that you can buy on a budget because it's an alternative to your pedal board when you don't have the option of it.
Yeah.
So it can't be anything like a Helix.
Okay. How much flexibility?
MS3.
Well, I mean, well, yeah, that's the only other thing. But again, you've still only got 3 foot switches there.
Mm-hmm. See, the MS3, I actually think is a fantastic option. It's still a chunk of money, though. At 350 quid, it's still expensive in comparison to sort of buying a fly rig. But yeah, of course, the MS3 is a fantastic option. I was thinking M9 as well. M9. 6 foot switches.
What about
you can have three?
Pretty chunky, though, isn't it?
Not really.
What about HX Effects then? I mean, the thing is,
again, it's
£500. Moon on a stick here. You've got to like either go, well, I'm gonna have to you're gonna have to commit to spending 500 quid, or you're gonna have to commit to spending not a lot and
exactly.
then maybe getting something.
I completely agree, which is why I started to think about, well, what were the multi effects of old? Because that's how you get around this. You buy an older multi-effects unit that's going to be much cheaper.
So an ME70 or ME25.
Yeah, ME25 is a good option. And yeah, you know, what ME70.
ME80 is the new one.
Yeah.
ME80, yeah, sorry. Or
ME80 is a wicked pedal as well. Because it's all hands-on control, which I really like because, you know, there's no messing around with
I have
sort of menus or anything
yeah
like that.
I have always liked that and favored those about the ME's sort of from early on when the ME's and from Boss and the sort of M5913 from 96 were about. I did really like that all your rotary controls were always in front of you on the Boss stuff. That was really good. The thing about the ME80 which was great was those cradled foot switches. Within one foot switch spacing you actually had two switches.
Yeah.
Or not that works when you're dancing around the stage, I don't know.
Well, it's the same as the FS7, basically. It's the same foot switch design.
I guess I use one of those. Yeah, but the ME80 still... Do you know what I realised the other day? The ME50B is still in production. That's the base version of the Boss ME series multi-effects.
Yeah.
It's still current line.
Hold on, what about GT1?
Ooh, lots of menu hopping. How many effects? How many buttons do you have? Like
three.
Two?
Yeah, three. But with all of these, same as MS3, you can add one or two FS7s on top of that. I mean, if you add one FS7 onto an or two FS7s onto an MS3, you've got an extra four switches then.
That is pretty useful. How much is a GT1?
GT1, I think they're like
150 quid looking on the money. Internet.
Yeah, £148.
So what do you reckon the best affordable multi-effects is?
I mean, it really depends on what it is that you're trying to do. You know, if you need all these massive, expansive sounds, then I think it's going
to
be difficult, isn't it?
If you need to switch between lots of crazy patches, then I would say GT... For me, MS3, because then obviously you can still add in a couple of your own effects, especially if there's like specific ones that you need, or GT1. But I do really rate ME80. I really love ME80. I think it's a wicked product. It's just that it's a bit more like individual pedals. So you might have to do a little, you can have memories, but there's a little bit more tap dancing involved. But at 199,
an ME80 is now?
Yeah.
Oof, that is a very affordable price. Do you remember when Mark owned one of those?
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. We did a podcast with Jay from Boss, didn't we? Years ago.
Yeah.
About really? The M80.
Yeah, like... Yeah, I was going to say it's 10 years ago, but it wasn't quite that long ago. But yeah, that
was about 6 years ago.
That was probably 2013. Yeah,
it's probably the start of the original podcast.
That was the start of the beginning of the podcast.
It has got a ring modulator on it. It has got slow gear. It's got an octaver. Yeah, it's kind of got those. It's got a bunch. Oh, it's got overtone on it. So if you want that POG type thing, it's got a pitch shifter on there, which you can program. It's got a pitch shifter on the pedal effects.
You mean on the foot switch?
Yeah, you've got pitch shifter on the foot switch and you've got it on the actual expression pedal as well.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And
I'm pretty sure you had that on the ME70, actually.
You
could do octave up or octave down.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you've also got this... you've got Terra Echo on there, which is cool. Yeah, it's a wicked little pedal. And then when you get home, you plug it in via USB, use it as an interface for recording.
That is really good. I really do like that idea.
That is pretty cool. Matt Knight, this week you received something else that was pink.
I did, yes. This was actually a bit of a surprise. Our friend Mr. Stuart Tate from Tate Effects messaged me a few weeks ago and was like, "Oh, I've got something to send you." I was like, "Oh, I'm like super, super busy, so I won't get it in the office for a few weeks." He went, "That's fine. It's going to take a few weeks anyway." And then when I came back, he was like, "It's done." And he sent me the Antares, his overdrive pedal, in a wonderful pink with white knobs. And I tell you what, I was really keen to try this because obviously there's not a bunch of demos out there. And I was really keen to try it for myself because I think it's sort of got this sort of I've heard a few reviews say it's got this sort of Boss SD1 thing about it, which I really like. But it's got this clean blend control on it, so you can effectively dial. It's kind of weird. It works in reverse, so all the way counterclockwise, it's no drive whatsoever. It's just 100% clean signal, and then as you turn it up, you blend in more of the drive pedal, basically. And what's great about that is you can actually set a really low gain drive.
Yeah.
And then dial in loads of the clean. So it just works as this kind of subtle make gooder, basically. But it just adds a nice bit of crunch to your signal. If you want it, obviously, you can just run it as a full-on boost, but then just add the clean with a tone control. So it's super versatile.
I completely agree. I absolutely loved the Antares when we got it. I thought having the clean blend was very important. And I'm a sucker for a drive pedal that is low gain, that it just kind of warms up your tone and you can use dynamically, you can dig in and get more out of, and just having that clean blend makes that so achievable.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because when you run a 2-amp setup or something like that, and you get, like I said earlier, you know, you get that kind of push from one amp more than the other, and it kind of cuts through a little bit more. I think it just helps the drive cut through without sort of overwhelming signal. But yeah, actually, if you turn the gain almost all the way down, turn the clean blend, so you're actually only about 25% of the drive pedal, and then use the tone control. It's actually just a really good tone shaping tool to kind of leave on all the time, or as an alternative to kind of a slightly boosted sort of like clean channel, basically.
Yeah. I actually think it can kind of do all things as well, because we ended up my band ended up using it, my guitarist used it in our last recording when his full tone OCD stopped working.
Oh, right.
And we were able to do a pretty good replication of the OCD drive sound with it as well. So just like a great like mid-pushed kind of, you know, pretty aggressive drive sound.
Yeah, and what I really like is it stacks really well with other pedals. And obviously in the ES8, I can sort of move it around. So I've sort of been using it after some drive pedals and before others, which has been... which has been really nice. But I actually think I prefer running that to running the boost side of the Danon most of the time.
Really?
It's really good. And that's that pedal I've sort of like been obsessed with for the sort of like the last year or so. So yeah, I'm really impressed. Need to spend a little bit more time with it. I've only had a bit of time today and a bit of time yesterday, but I think it's wicked. That paired with the Olsen amp is brilliant, just as a boost in front of the drive channel.
And they match. They're matching colour.
They do. They're the exact same colour, which is great. And I'm so glad that the amp actually matches the cabs properly, because I've had a couple of amps where, you know, reds haven't matched or greens haven't matched or something like that. So I am incredibly pleased that they all match perfectly, which is wicked.
And so your pink obsession continues.
Indeed.
Let's do some news. First up, J. Cross. Whenever we talk about exclusives, we always talk about exclusives for America, but not today.
Yeah, so quite interestingly, out of the blue, Hofner, a brand that we really like and we talk about fairly infrequently, I would say.
Yeah, it's really not enough.
Just announced that they are going to be doing a run of UK exclusives. So very sorry to everybody outside the UK. Some very thins, which is really, really cool. Now, if you've never played a Hofner Very Thin before, you might be surprised to discover just how very thin they are.
It's very thin.
The thing about the Very Thin is it's called a Very Thin, yeah? And I know that it is very thin. Mm. However, every time I pick up a Very Thin, I go, bloody hell, this is very thin.
1.25 inches.
I mean, that's mad. It really is very thin. They're not messing about here. But they sound great. I've always really liked them. I think they're really cool. So for people who don't know, they're kind of like it's a 335 style guitar. They were traditionally made in Germany, I believe.
Yeah.
And they still are. They still have a lot of production in Germany. So generally, when you see a Very Thin, they are quite expensive. You're unlikely to see one for kind of less than a grand.
Well,
or so.
they have a Chinese production model as well, right. Which okay. is like 799 something like that. But it rarely... actually rarely makes it onto the shelves.
Yeah, well, these ones are really stripped back. So it's a you can get them in black stain or dark stain, which looks kind of like a mahogany, like a rich mahogany, if you will. And there's no dots on the fingerboard, whereas with traditionally Very Thins would have kind of big block inlays. It's all kind of fairly stripped back. I mean, I really like the look of it, but
this
the thing that gets me is it's they're £325.
Oh,
that's very cheap,
affordable.
Yeah,
I mean, like, no binding on the neck, no block inlays. The headstock looks loads simpler because there's no binding on that.
Yeah,
chrome tuners instead of any sort of pearl things. Yeah, and the finishes look really stripped back. They remind me of like how Gibson do their entry level Les Pauls, the whatever it's called,
studio.
They call them the studio?
Do you mean the
faded?
LPJ? Faders.
LPJs as well. All of that stuff is that kind of finish where it looks like they've put a bit of Ronseal garden fence paint on it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, it is very basic, but they're £325. I mean, they are what you kind of suspect them to be. So, I mean, I think these look fantastic. I'm big into these. I'd really like to see them. I can't see where they're being sold though. It says that they're UK exclusive. I did a quick search on the internet and couldn't turn anything up. So not sure where they're being sold exclusively, but very, very cool and very nice to see a company like Hofner doing something at kind of that entry level price point.
Yeah,
as well.
Awesome. What an absolutely cracking guitar. Matthew Knight, on the subject of hollow bodies. Yes, that's a segue sort of
that was
works.
A great segue.
Thank you. On the subject of hollow bodies, talk to me about PRS Silver... talk to me about about the Gibson Chris Cornell.
Yes, so not the first time this guitar has surfaced. This is actually the second run of Chris Cornell's. I think the first one was... well, way
it was a few years ago. See, this is the thing.
It was definitely still when we were at GAC, yeah.
So when I saw this, I was like, but this has already happened, right? This is already out.
Yeah, I think, the first range obviously came out when he was obviously still with us. So this is kind of the... they officially unveiled it earlier this year at a tribute concert to Chris Cornell. And I think basically they've actually been incredibly... popular, and they've just done a very, very limited edition signature to basically raise funds for his foundation, basically.
Right, okay.
Which I really, really like. So as far as I can tell, the specs are the same. They'll be sold worldwide through authorized Gibson dealers and the pre-sale.
So what are the specs for listeners that didn't see them the first time around?
So they, unfortunately, personally, I'm not a massive fan of the colour.
First of all, take that back.
The colour of drab olive green. Oh, I just think if they'd given it a better name, I would have been slightly into it a little bit more.
Chris Cornell's foundation is going to be helped out here. Because
in
the best movie of last year, A Star Is Born, what's his name? What's the guy's
Hugh
name?
Hugh Jackman. No, the other one.
The other one.
Hugh Jackman was in that other one with singing, wasn't he?
Not Hugh Jackman.
Oh, it's going to kill me.
Not the greatest showman.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Wiggins.
Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper is playing not that guitar, but it is also in Drab Olive Green.
Right, okay.
And it is like a 335, but his has humbucker.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But, you know, everyone's going to want to
look
like...
He's playing a green guitar, is what you're saying.
He's playing a green hollow-body Gibson...
Okay.
...with humbuckers, and he's Bradley Cooper.
Yes, that's true. He is Bradley Cooper. Yeah, you're right. 2012 was the original one. So, yeah, 7 years on.
Quite some time ago. And as far as I can tell, yes, this one is effectively the same. So, limited to 250 pieces.
Oh, damn it.
Basically, 335, so pretty much standard 335 spec. You know, three-ply maple, poplar maple top and back, spruce bracing, maple center block, so everything you'd expect normally from a 335. Dark rosewood fretboard. The difference has come as it's got a Bigsby B7 on it for a fun little bit of trem action. Clear volume controls, and then most importantly is the pickups, because they have aged finish Lolotrons, so very, very Gretschy in terms of its vibe, drive really nicely. So yeah, quite a very, very different guitar. Nice fitting tribute to Chris Cornell, and he actually did play these guitars as well, which was really, really nice.
Oh, very cool.
That was his signature, obviously, before his passing. So yeah, exact to his spec. And actually, I remember them in the shop and it being a very, very good guitar and selling out very, very quickly.
Yeah, and with 250 pieces, I guess it would do it again.
Yes.
I can't believe you don't like that colour.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's a bit of a weird one. I think because it's that kind of satin finish, I think it would age really, really nicely. Fresh out of the box, it feels a bit too new. I think it needs a little bit of sort of heavy playing.
Yeah,
bit of a weird one.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose-built to create rich, beautiful, vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube, Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ibelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com.
So Reverent have released a series of exclusives with Chicago Music Exchange. They are just new colours and all for the same guitar, the Double Agent, which is kind of their, it's like an offset. It was almost their, now they do a Telecaster shape, it's almost their sort of version of a Telecaster before they started doing a Telecaster shape. So it's, yeah, I don't know, Telecastery, Junior-y, that sort of thing. But it's a lovely looking body shape. It's definitely one of their better models. And the colours that they have released are Vivid Avocado, Mulberry Mist, and Coral. That's right. So the Vivid Avocado is kind of like a lime green. I guess that's the best way. It's sort of an off lime green. Coral is actually
like 70s bath, basically.
Yes, well, exactly that. Exactly that. Sorry about that.
Do that all the time.
I was just taking a photo to share it into the groups because I realised I'm the only one with a press release. But yeah, it definitely looks like an old 70s bathroom.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And then, yeah, the coral is lighter. Coral, I would think, that go after these Fender. What's the Fender color? The off red, salmon pink,
Fiesta red. Fiesta red.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind today. Yeah, but this is much lighter, much more a straight sort of pink finish. And then, of course, Mulberry Mist is Burgundy Mist, the best color of all time. It's also the only one that comes with a torque guard. But you get a lovely P90 in the neck, humbucker in the bridge. Situation baked maple on all of the guitars and a matching headstock on the Mulberry Mist model, which is, you know, of course in line with how
wicked
a lot of the Burgundy Mist ones appear. Yeah, I mean, I really like the Reverend stuff. I have to say, when I saw these three guitars together, I was not into this sort of idea, like seeing, you know, a purple, an off pink and a weird lime green sort of. I already find the Reverend body shapes quite in your face, coupled with these sort of less traditional colours. I really wasn't into it. But
I think they're wicked. Actually, it's worth pointing out that guitar.co.uk, which is a Reverend dealer, I think based in Scotland, have been posting a lot on Facebook because I think it appears in the Facebook group quite a lot. They are constantly ordering limited models in pink. The Reverend colour is shrimp pink.
Is that what they call it?
It's shrimp pink, yes. And at the moment, they've got the Jetstream 390 LE in foam shrimp pink. So not just shrimp pink, foam shrimp.
Foam shrimp.
The best sweets ever.
yeah, of course.
I don't know if they're vegan.
They won't be. No.
They won't be.
They're made of shrimps, mate.
They're made of real
Of course,
shrimp.
They're made of shrimp.
So that the Jetstream is the kind of Mustang-like, I want to say Mustang offset-like with trem, but with three P90s. It looks absolutely wicked and an amazing guitar for $799 as well. So if you're in the UK and you want a pink Reverend, that's definitely an exclusive worth checking out.
There does seem to be a lot of Reverends in Scotland. They seem to have really nailed that.
I think
that
they're
part
the only.
The
I think they're one of the only dealers in the UK doing Reverend. Actually,
Reverend at Anderton's. They're at Merchant City, which is also in Scotland.
That is actually, I just realised because I couldn't think of the Merchant City is guitar.co.uk.
Right.
If I remember rightly,
it is.
I didn't realise. And what's the other one that's opposite Merchant on the same street in Glasgow?
Is it
because they also
Kenny's?
It's guitar,
or is it guitar?
And they also do.
They're
Reverend.
All kind of near each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, and actually, I watched the Premier Guitar sort of video with Greg Koch on his signature, and I'm really into that guitar. I think it's wicked. It's just but it is the most expensive one in their range. It's like £1,300. But I think the Fishman pickups add quite a lot to that price.
Matt Knight, talk to me about PRS Silver Skies.
Yes. So the guitar that everyone loves to hate, or hates to love, maybe. In your case, Joe, I know how much it's your favourite. The PRS JM1 was the John Mayer signature guitar, I'm sure most people know. And in this year, they actually released a bunch of new colours. But for some people, some stores out there, that isn't good enough. You know, they don't want this kind of vintage vibe, brand new guitar. They want it to be old as well. So Guitar Sanctuary over in the US have decided to relic the Silver Sky.
It's a bold move.
It is a bold move. And actually, do you know what it just on a side note, what it made me think of is there was the DJ Deadmau5, right, bought a Ferrari and had it done in pink and had the Hello Kitty or something on the side and called it a Ferrari, right? And then got a cease and desist from Ferrari being like, you can't do that. You signed a contract when you bought the car being you can't modify the car because then it's not a Ferrari. Because
right,
they're very
okay.
particular about their IP, their brand image.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if PRS shut this down at some point because obviously it's very... I know that people offer relics on guitars and stuff, but this is so I don't know, mate. It's not PRS's thing at all. They've never done relic guitars. Obviously, if you want a relic PRS, you've basically got to buy a secondhand one. But even when you look at secondhand ones, they're really well loved. They're not kind of like beaten up in any way. And the V12 finish that they're kind of finished in is actually really hard wearing, but obviously has that kind of nitro feel to.
Is the Silver Sky nitro? I thought it was poly.
No, they're V12, which is their own, well, from when I remember working in a guitar store, V12 is their own custom finish, which is designed to be hard-wearing like poly, but breathe like a nitro,
Ooh,
basically.
Very smart.
So Guitar Sanctuary are basically offering relict versions, or there was a relict version on their website. So that was the kind of candy apple red.
Yeah,
just actually trying to have a read on there. I mean, I actually think it looks... pretty good. I think the only thing is the scratch plate looks still really quite new.
Well, it's because they've gone for a white plate rather than it being like parchment or mint.
Well, that's
or
the thing,
because like
they have a white plate as standard, but I'm guessing that the plate would need to be custom cut because it's obviously not just a normal...
Strat-style
plate that would go on there. Not much on their website in terms of what you can get. And there's actually... bizarrely enough, I don't know if they've just got one that they've relicked and then have sold a relic, or whether they're actually offering the relic as an option. I think they'd probably have to be very, very careful to offer that as an option. Add $400 onto your purchase if you want the guitar relic. However, could be a viable business for some guitar stores, maybe, if you're offering that.
It's just a bit of a weird brand to get partnered with relicking. Like whenever you think of PRSs, I think of people who look after guitars, who would even want to get like chips and dents repaired and things like that. They're definitely the sort of instrument that you keep.
Yeah, I think, like I said, because obviously when they designed the sort of JM1, the idea was that you've got, you know, 7.25 fretboard, you've got these really kind of vintage pickups, you've got that kind of vintage playability, but it's a modern built guitar using modern techniques. But I guess, you know, some people do kind of want it relicked, and the look and feel of it, I mean, you wouldn't relic like a private stock.
Yeah.
And then go, yeah, I'm going to spend 10 grand and have this amazing piece of like bird's eye, like burl, and then I'm going to have like a swamp mahogany body and then just like relic it. I think this one is just the body shape and design kind of lends itself to that a little bit.
I mean, at the same time, Matty, you maybe would think the same thing about Les Pauls, for example, but think about how, you know, those old Tom Murphy Les Pauls were always really popular when they were aged, and, you know, Fender relicking is always really popular, and I'm sure that there is a crossover point between people who want these guitars and want them to look old. In the same way as there is for most guitars. I just think nobody's tried it. And I wonder if, I don't know anything about this shop, but I wonder if this is something that they have been doing, they've been offering as a service, you know, for a period of time. Lots of shops offer, kind of aftermarket guitar luthiery or guitar modifications. And that's all that this is, really, you know, a bit of relicking. So I wonder if this is something that they have been offering as a service for a long time, and they've just decided to kind of use this guitar as a showpiece to show off what their kind of in-house techs can do, you know?
Yeah, I'm just trying to do a little bit more reading. So the first line...
Because honestly, £400 for that, for an aging process, doesn't seem too expensive if you ask me.
No, they basically say here, introducing the PRS JM1 John Mayer signature. We had this one in Horizon Custom Age to give it a more vintage vibe, feel and tone, which doesn't really tell you much about how it was done. So I'm just... It's a rare thing itself. So I don't know. It doesn't really kind of... You can't really find a lot more information about it. But I'm assuming, like you say, that they've paid someone to do it who maybe works for the store, and it's an option that they're going to offer.
Have you ever bought anything relict, Matty?
Have I bought anything? Yeah, I've had custom shops, obviously relict custom shops before, and Fenders. But I don't know. It feels so much more natural on a Fender. I mean, I like the Gibson relics, don't get me wrong, but the Fender... I think it's just because I'm so used to custom shops more than anything. Because obviously we were doing, way back in the, you know, GAK days, we were doing relic custom shops way before Gibson started offering a lot more of the kind of made-to-measure and relic stuff as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but you've purchased a relic. What did you buy? Oh, was it that Telecaster?
No, I really should try and list down everything I've owned, and I really wish I'd done that from the start. But my first custom shop was a Greg Fessler Master Designed 1964 Strat in gold sparkle, based off page 64 from the... What's that, Jay? You might remember. What's that really famous Strat book? You've obviously got Beauty of the Burst, which is the really famous Les Paul one, and there's an equally famous... hard to get hold of book on vintage Fenders. I think it was a Japanese only book.
Oh, I don't know, mate.
I have to try and remember what it was called. Basically, because I've got a copy of Beauty of the Burst. And yeah, there's a really famous book that basically a lot of the master builders, you know, some time ago used as the inspiration for a lot of the modern day custom shops, basically. And yeah, that was my first ever guitar. Like custom shop guitar, and that was a wicked instrument. So I don't really know why I sold it. Probably sold it for another custom shop. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did sell it for a different custom shop.
I didn't realize that that gold Strat of yours was a custom shop. I thought it was just an old Strat.
No, it was that custom shop. In fact, I think I sold that to buy the Esquire.
Ah, which you then sold to buy that rubbish 70s Telecaster.
I know. Oh, God.
Look at how worse those guitars got over time.
I peaked and then just like slipped off the top of the mountain. Yeah,
that is what you did.
But yeah, I wish I could remember the name of this Fender book, actually. If I remember it,
yeah,
I'll try and...
I can't remember. I just had a quick Google and I couldn't see what it was called.
No. Yeah, it was... I remember talking to, obviously, the custom shop rep at Fender about it, and basically no one's really actually got a copy of it.
Is it just like you can only get it as a PDF or something?
You can only now not officially get it as a PDF.
Right, okay.
But it was an official book that, if I remember rightly, only came out in Japan.
Okay.
It was a very, very limited book, and it was all of these kind of vintage Fenders. Before vintage was really a thing, I think the book came out in the 80s, and then that's what a lot of like Greg Fessler and all those guys used as inspiration for the kind of the Time Machine series, and then obviously what became a lot more of the standard relic guitars that we know now.
Oh, right.
I just have to remember the name of it.
So on a slightly more affordable note, this week Epiphone have launched a dozen or so limited edition. This is the age of limited edition stuff this year at the moment. But a load of limited edition Pro Series and Light models. And some of them are really cool. Now, Epiphone release loads of extra stuff all the time. And they obviously do limited edition runs of everything. There's always a new signature model. There's always something new coming out every week. But I kind of think that they've nailed it with this one. This time, rather than it being the top end of Epiphone, which can be, you know, £650, £700... pounds, which is a lot of money to part with, you know, something with Epiphone on the headstock. I know that's, you know, that's not 100% cool thing to say, but still, you know, it's the top end of the price point, and I think that brand can stretch to. This time they've released a load of cool, interesting, slightly different models for, you know, what is essentially their affordable line of guitars. And a couple of things, I wouldn't normally talk about these, but a couple of things really caught my eye as being unusual, but really cool and really a chance to own something, you know, for change of 400 quid that's kind of cool and different and interesting. So the G400, which is the Epiphone version of the SG, they've released in, and bear with me, a sort of lightly flamed navy blue with gold hardware. That sounds terrible, but it actually looks fantastic. It looks really cool and regal, and it looks way more than £350. Obviously, you know, the Epiphones are all going to play pretty well. They're fine. They're perfectly good, serviceable, affordable guitars. I just thought kind of flamed navy gold hardware SG for £350 was a bit of a bargain. They also do it in like a heritage burst, same thing, gold hardware. Guys, I think I'm getting into gold hardware.
Joe, I think you maybe need to take a step back and look at yourself.
We're wearing exactly the same clothes, Jay.
We are wearing the same outfit. Yeah, looking good, mate. Yeah, good, good stuff.
Thanks,
I saw men internally, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I tell you what, recently, really into Les Paul Customs. And I think that's why. Les Paul Customs, like Black Beauty Les Paul Customs.
Three pickups?
Yeah, it doesn't have to, but yeah.
That's too many. You realise that, right?
Yeah, if they did one with one, I would maybe like that. But I kind of like the sort of overcompensation of three pickups. It's sort of like saying, I don't care. I'll have as many pickups as I want.
We were talking about it in our little secret chat earlier today.
Yeah.
The few of us. And
were we?
Yeah. About the fact that none of us can remember.
Yeah, that's right. What pickup configuration?
Yeah. See, I thought it was just neck, middle, bridge.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that wasn't the consensus. I do seem to remember that there have been some where maybe you blended in the middle pickup the bridge.
That sounds like a much more usable way of doing it. It does seem unusual to me. Yeah, it's neck, middle and bridge, and then bridge. So the middle is never used exclusively, and the middle is only used in
I was sure that the middle was never used exclusively, but Jay's right. I remember some where the tone control was also a volume.
That's cool. That I would like that. That would
the
be
tone
cool.
control was also a volume. What
a
so went,
was a so, volume? Sorry, instead of a tone.
So does that mean that when you're in the middle position, the neck tone?
No, I as far as I remember, I remember seeing one where it was like a normal Les Paul. So neck and bridge. But then what was the bridge tone control was actually a volume control for the middle pickup. So in any position, you would then blend in the middle pickup.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, all I want really is gold hardware now.
Right, okay, good stuff.
On everything. What? Anything.
On everything.
Well, just maybe on Strats too. Maybe it does work on Strats now. Basically, I
were
now
you,
like
were you
gold
using
hardware.
Most of the time now?
Jazz basses?
In which what's your like your number one bass?
It's a Sunburst jazz 60s jazz bass.
Okay, cool. So what you're saying is you want to put gold hardware on a 60s Sunburst.
Oh, maybe I do.
That sounds, Joe, that sounds awful.
Maybe it's a good idea.
It sounds
and a brass bridge. Yeah. I mean, anyway.
Matt, I just don't think there's any hope for him.
No,
I think he's gone.
It's cool. So this range, you can get, there are three different SGs in like a heritage cherry. There's like the flame blue and there's like a slightly flamed cherry, all with gold hardware. And it looks wicked. It's a listener. Who likes gold hardware? Go onto the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, and tell me if you like gold hardware. And here's the thing. In this Epiphone range, they also do a white gold hardware Les Paul Custom. I think I found my spirit animal. And I think it's Les Pauls with gold hardware. I think I'm there.
What are you going to do? Just sell everything? Just buy that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get one. Maybe I'll find, you know, like a Japanese version of it. I don't know. We'll see.
I remember what that book was called. I did a little bit of Googling. The Galaxy of Strats.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
The Galaxy of Strats, which was actually written by the same guy that did The Beauty of the Burst. So it is all in Japanese. So unless you can read Japanese, it's just pretty pictures.
I can read pictures.
But features 89 guitars from 54 to 71, and I think came out in the late 80s or early 90s, so way before the kind of massive... sort of vintage boom, and it really goes into detail about how guitars relic. I mean, that's the great thing about the Beauty of the Burst book, is it tells you how when they were finishing guitars from 58 to 60, how different colors fade differently under different UV lights, and how, you know, you get things like Lemon Burst and all of that stuff now as well. So it's a book I've been meaning to get for ages, and actually you can import it via Amazon, but it's £53, so
a small price to pay for, you know, the height of geekery.
Yeah, I think maybe I will treat myself to such a book.
Now, we are actually coming up to time on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, but Jay Cross, you have one more piece of news for us, which I actually added to the news and then removed.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Well,
but you've added it back in, yes, so let's talk
was,
about it.
At some point during the podcast, I was you were talking, rabbiting on about something, yep. And I got very bored, and so I just started looking on the internet, and I found that I can't believe you've skipped over this. This is the most interesting piece of news, it's maybe this year,
because of the price tag.
Well, that's fine. Basically, this is one for the Matt Knights. Okay. The Matt Knights in the audience.
All right.
The lovers, you know. Layla have released a new version of their little jewel switcher. Which is their new ABY. Well, it's not new. It's a switcher we've been going on about for a really long time. It's super, super versatile. And they've released a new version, which is the Little Jewel 2. So the Little Jewel 2 can be used in a number of ways. You can, it's an ABY, so AB or A and B. The outputs can be used to go towards two different amps, or you know, an amp and a desk, or an amp and a computer, so that you can run concurrently. It's passive, which is really interesting, because I'm pretty sure that the old ones were active. Although I'm not 100% sure on that. Matt sounds like he's about to correct me.
I think they were passive.
Okay, right, okay.
If I remember rightly. I think that's their kind of deal with those, is that they were very, very good. I think you still needed a mains adapter, because you needed to...
have the lights LEDs. Come on. Yeah.
You have to power the LEDs in some way.
Yes, so, and I can't remember where I read it, but I did see somewhere on here that it... where is it? Oh, no, there was a really fantastic description of the LEDs. It was like, where is it? High intensity LEDs.
Ooh, wow, that's I don't like high intensity LEDs.
High intensity LEDs. Yeah, you want to be the highest intensity person in the room.
I had a pedal on my board, and I had to take it off because it was too bright when it was on.
Right.
So I couldn't see the other controls to manipulate them if I needed to when
just
it was on.
Stick a bit of masking tape over the light.
I should have done that.
That'd look cool as well,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Or plaster.
No
maybe
light.
A plaster.
Yeah, a little plaster.
A little band-aid.
A little ankle plaster.
But yeah, anyway, you're right. This is expensive. It's like 300 and something quid.
Yeah,
I can't find
a lot of money.
I can't find the price now. But the Layla stuff is great. It is.
It's amazing.
$349 USD. So, it's not cheap, but the Layla stuff is really, really high quality.
And what I like as well is it also accepts TRS.
Yes, it does.
TRS.
So, you can output the optional signal can be balanced TRS or XLR, which is really nice for people like double bass players or anyone using a pickup that is not a traditional sort of guitar out of a quarter inch. And actually, what's really clever about these is obviously they use a nice little microcontroller for the switching, so it's super quick and super silent, which I really like.
Lovely.
Very cool. Well, that is it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over on the Patreon, where this week we're going to be answering some questions from the Facebook group. And
what? Those idiots?
Only a couple. We're going to be talking about...
I hope you vetted them.
Yeah, I vetted them.
Okay, good.
And we're going to be talking about this cool article that I read in Guitar World magazine. Anyway.
How to count to eight.
Yeah, that was it. We're going to Patreon. I've interrupted my thing now. Where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. Although those adverts you heard this week were lovely, weren't they? Unless you are listening to this on the Patreon, in which case you didn't hear any adverts. But, you know, get in touch and I'll just, you know, I can send you the adverts for you to listen to separately.
Anyway, oh, that might be nice. Yeah, maybe you should do that. Just set up a separate RSS feed.
I'll show them what they're missing.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they didn't pay.
Someone did comment about that in the group. I don't know if you saw that. Robin Smith did say, oh, wow, I didn't realise it was like good adverts.
I thought it was just like... I'm going to try and get some worse companies to advertise with us because at the moment they're all quite good.
What? When you say worse companies, what do you mean? Like betting companies?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Foxy Silic Bingo.
Bang. Yeah,
Silic Bang. Like, Silic Bang, high quality products there.
Oh, yeah, maybe
what
not.
Was that geezer's name? I can't remember. Bang and the
Barry Scott.
You're right.
Maybe like a company that make those foam things that go in between your toes to spread your toes out when you're painting them.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds vile.
Yeah. I'll find something like that. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and loads more, and $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name sung in a lovely tune. We've had new Patreon backers this week, so I had to record a whole new damn song.
But, oh, that is really that's really nice.
Really inconsiderate.
That's actually fantastic.
That's the new thing that's really annoying.
You've
now.
Record
it's not
it
that it makes
day.
It harder for me. It's that every More time consuming. Someone adds, I've got to record the whole thing again.
Oh, that's good. That also, I think what we... Oh, wow.
Gary Patillo, Mark is out, Katawaki, Robert Barstow, Stephen Book, Robert Butterworth, Neil Minton, Maren Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Joshua Mitchell, Christian Lund Hansen, John Pearson, John Mayer, slowly burning in a dancing room, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Fowle, Andy Joyce, John Englund, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutler, Robert Cousin, Rob Goose, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Abaddon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Henry James Baker, Juan Courier, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jane Kent, Jane Gray, Matt Benamy, Martin Clint, Scott Kennedy, Chris Allen, Seth Hansams, Robert Trinderick, Chris Connors, Robert Norrick, Watson, Ned Bentley, Steve Merkel, Michael McVeigh, Gabbas Mancha, Annie McKenzie, Brad Pitts, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Amstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moe Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Kane, John Arbo, Christopher Woodman, Cumberton, the Patreon executive.
We also maybe need to get to a point where if at any point, you know, as the month rolls, we haven't had any new backers, maybe we need a volunteer to drop out for a month so that you still have to record the song again.
Oh, yeah, that would be...
I suppose you could just beep someone's name out, though, couldn't you?
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm absolutely doing that. If you drop out now, listeners, yeah, your name's going to get beeped. Yeah. Anyway... you can follow us on all the social media platforms at Guitar Nerds, or join us on facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. That's it for this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Thanks, gang.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.